I like to be clothed from on high. When you clothe from on high and you learn to live clothed, you don't want to be clothed any other way. You'll fight to be clothed from on high. You'll live to be clothed on high. When you live close to Him, you never want to be apart from Him. That's the greatest torment, to have been close to God and then let yourself slip. Because there are slippery places out there. Even though you see with your eyes spiritually, there are very slippery places you can slip away and do church. Just do church. You can just do church. Just show up and do things. But you're not next to Him. You're not close to Him. The whole key is to stay close to Him, because that's how you're going to see. You're going to find doors that you didn't know otherwise were there. And that's just not doors of opportunity. Doors that open things in the Spirit. That'll open brand new systems of God. Doors that'll cause you to launch from one system to another. Transform fundamentally the way churches operate. If you don't think the enemy is good, he'll conform people that are not close to God. He'll conform them slowly. He's got a 6-day plan, a 6-month plan, a 6-year plan for you. He's got that plan. You got to understand, if he can't just take it away, he'll try to mold you to where he'll move your hunger away and mold you into a form of religion. He does it all the time. People get weary and they get away from God and they just get molded. You have to stay next to him, to stay full, to stay close, to stay clothed, to have his oil upon you. So you can see. You can't see if you're not next to him. You can't see where you're going. You just get molded to a powerless form of religion. That's what God wants to change. The present state of any church right now is not going to change this nation. Not right now. If it did, you would see it. You would see cities fundamentally being transformed. You wouldn't have to go find it. You would see it. It'd be all over the place. Have to come up into that place. Amen. That's what we're contending for. Hallelujah. It's a lot easier to contend for something if you stay close to him. You know, you have the facilitators and you have the birthers. Facilitator can facilitate what already has been. DNA that's already been birthed. DNA that's already been established. Movements that have been established, operations that have already somebody carried them in a previous generation or in the generation we lived in, they carried it through and established it into the earth. And people are called and God attaches them and they facilitate. They just can grab what is and run with it. See, because it's already here. But when God wants the next level, he'll call birthers. We need all of it. So the birthers, you don't get to attach yourself to something that already is. You don't get to do that. You have to carry something that is not and believe that it is until your faith crosses the line. You got to carry it. How long you got to carry it? I don't know. Been at it for a while. Getting better every day. Hallelujah. Stop struggling with it and start coming to harmony with it. Because you carry something, because you can see. You see a place that's not yet birthed. But you can see it because something forged it within you. And you got to hold fast to that. You have to hold fast to that with all of your heart. Otherwise you lose it. You let it go. You let it slip. How many of you have ever been in that place where you let it slip? When you let it slip, you don't care anymore. Well, he'll just do it when he gets ready to do it. He's going to use you. And there's a partnership. There's a co-laboring partnership between the two. You have a part, he has a part. You got to find what our part is. When we get too close to it, he'll take your hands off of it. Sometimes he'll take your hands off of it in a nice way. Sometimes you'll get broken. If your hands get around it too much, do you know what I'm talking about? And when you get broken, you want to go sit on the sideline somewhere. And say, well, God, you do it. I just, whenever you're ready, here I am. That's not it either. How many of you ever been broken and didn't want to touch it no more? I mean, even broken is like, I don't care. Don't even want to care. Don't even want to care. You can't live out there like that. You think you can, but you can't. There's no life there. The enemy will take major advantage of you. You think you don't want to care. Next year, you won't want to care. And the year after that, you won't want to even care. You see what I'm talking about? You have to re-engage. It's part of the responsibility we have to carry things in God, to walk next to Him. That's not easy to do. It's easy to say. But to stay next to God will cost you everything. The enemy knows if you stay next to God, you're going to become everything He wants you to be. Because you're going to follow Him to where He is. If you're not next to Him, the enemy can manage things much better. You'll be thankful, though, when we get to heaven that you followed Him. Amen. You didn't waste your life. You know how easy it is to waste 5 years? You know how easy it is to waste 10 years? You know how easy that is to wake up one day and where did my life go? Nobody cares about 30, 40, 50. When they get into the older part of their lives, what did I do? I'm about to meet God. What did I do with my life? Some people don't know how to walk with God. Some people don't have the grid for it. And some are hungry beyond measure. Hungry beyond measure. And those that are hungry beyond measure, that's who we want to talk to. Amen. Hallelujah. Pretty strong vision the other day. I was fellowshipping with the Lord and He spoke to me. He said, those that come into my room, because those that will come in, most will come in and out. But then there'll be those that will come into me and stay there. Thing, if you don't stay with God, you'll go about trying to build something on your own. That's why we get the results we're getting. Those that come in and stay there. I saw that in a vision, someone was lifted up. They came into Christ, said, let us grow up into Him. Into Him, the Bible says. Grow up into Him. In Him we live. In Him we move. In Him we have our being. Paul said in Colossians, if you be risen with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of the Father. Set all your affection, set your love upon Him and not upon the earth. And it says something remarkable. He says, you're dead, but your life is hidden away in Christ, in the Father. Hidden away. Wow, how many Christians actually live in that hidden away place? How many are even being taught to live in that hidden away place? That's where He says your life is. And I saw that in this vision, someone was caught up into this, and then they were taken up into Him, and I just saw them disappear into this. It looked like glory. They were there for a long time, just in one level. And the Bible says we go from glory to glory. As you grow up into Him and you move up into Him, there's levels of glory. But I saw that in this vision, it just released. It was caught up into this glory, and when it come back out, he wasn't coming out in a state of fellowship, that he disfellowshiped with God. He had heaven's glory. She had heaven's glory on him. And it came back here. He said, only those that will move from glory to glory in me are going to have that kind of glory upon them. to go so up into God. There's a place you go up, 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 and then you reach in. And the ceiling breaks. And you're caught up with God. Enoch got so caught up, he didn't want to come back. Men and women of generations, there's not a lot of them. But it doesn't take a lot. One person clothed in that kind of glory, when they come back, heaven's on them. Heaven's with them. It's dripping from them. And the Lord said, I would pray. Remember, he'd always separate himself and go up to the mountain of God. The Bible said he came into that house. He said the power of the Lord was present to heal. That present. That was the glory he carried. Another time he says if they could just touch the hem of his garment, just touch him. As many as touched him, they brought him on beds and couches and laid him on the street. And they would reach out and they said as many that could touch were made whole because it was on him. That glory was on him. The present glory that came from his Father on him. He wore it. And it was atmospheric. It was in the presence of the atmosphere. And all they had to do is get in the vicinity of the atmosphere. And boom, they're healed. Just like that. Healed. Just like that. Didn't have to work for it. Didn't have to strive for it. Didn't have to yell at the thing. Didn't have to spend 6 hours trying to get the devil out. Didn't have to, what's your name? I said, come out. I said, come out. Then you want to scream louder till you're worn out. Reminds me of a guy trying to get deliverance all night long. And it's one of the devils that survive all the regular church meetings, you know. Some devils, they don't survive, and some can survive any church meeting. He got a hold of this person. You know, he's all spiritual, been fasting, so he spent all night trying to get him out. 4 or 5 hours, just worn out, ask him his name, all that kind of thing. And finally, he said, what's your name? He said, Seeky. You Seeky. He said, Seeky first the kingdom. That's what the devil told him. Shouted at him. They're crazy. That really happened. How'd you like after 6 hours some devil taunting you like that? But you're clothed in the kingdom, you don't do all that. Trying to operate in these principles of the kingdom, but we're not up into that place. We can't wait for it to come upon us. That's not what he said. He said, you come. You come unto me. Enter into the holiest of all. Let us draw near. Come unto the throne of grace. You have to initiate that kind of walk with God. He receives you into glory. Paul said, I want to be found in him. In him, not having my own righteousness. He says, if by any means I can attain a resurrection, you should read Philippians chapter 3 and what Paul was asking for. He wanted to get so far up into God, he wanted to obtain a resurrection. Do you know what that meant? He wanted to obtain a resurrection like Elijah and Enoch did. He wanted that. That's what Paul was crying for in Philippians chapter 3. Crying out, if by any means I could be made conformable unto his death, that I could obtain his resurrection. He wanted to obtain it. There are men and women that just have that in them. And there are men and women that have it in them. And the enemy pounds it out of them. It's not how much pounding you take. It's not what you go through when you carry that kind of thing. It's not how much you go through. It's having the ability to overcome. Setting it up. Setting the compass again. Setting your faith back in there. Anybody can get pounded. Anybody can get knocked out. that you can get back up. Find that ring again. I'm going to do it. No matter what, I'm going in. I'm going to stay with you no matter what it costs. I will not let go of your garment. I'm not letting go. Anybody can get distracted. Anybody can get deceived. There's a myriad of things that will be thrown against you. But that level of glory is for those that will overcome. When that kind of glory shows up, everything changes. It changes for whole cities. It changes whole communities. And you stay with it, it'll change whole nations. None of that can happen apart from him. You can just wish and wait for it for a lifetime. That is going into him, moving into him. And I saw in the vision this person was, they'd been in and in and in and in and in, and all of a sudden they were just, it's from glory to glory, see. You move from glory, you grow up into his glory, and was taken up into it. I saw this person come back and they had something on them. Whatever they spoke happened. Whatever sickness, disease, and anything that was under the curse of this world system, when it came in the presence of that glory that was on them, it changed. I watched it happen in the vision. He said, that's what this generation has to come into. That's where I'm leading my remnant bride. She must be taught to come in and taught to stay. And only the hungry is going to make it. But hunger is not enough. You have to have wisdom and hunger. It's the hundredfolders that are going to make it. Jesus stood in that room, all the doctors and lawyers said the power of present was there. See, it was present. Didn't have to work it up. Didn't have to generate. It was already on him because he lived with the Father. It was on him. But Peter stood the gate beautiful. And that man, they'd already prayed. They're going back in to pray again. And he walked by and that man was begging alms and asked. And he was begging. You know what we do? We pray for him. Pray your faith. God bless you. You'll recover. Amen. Got to go pray. Peter said two remarkable things. After he healed him, you know what he said? Don't look upon us like we did this. Don't look upon us like we did this. But before he prayed, he said something even more remarkable. You know what he said? Silver and gold have I none, but what I have, I give. But don't look at me like I did it. He didn't do it, but he had it on him. That's a master key. If Peter didn't have it on him right there, he had not to give to the man. Couldn't have given it to him. He would have prayed and nothing would have happened. But he had been up into the presence of the Lord. He'd been caught up and it was on him. It was already on him. That's where we got to get. It's what God wants. His people to live in his glory. He wants the ceiling removed. He wants results. Well, can he just do it? Yeah, he can do it when we get with his program. It's not just going out there. Yes, you're going to see certain things, but everything has a certain limitation on it. Have you ever noticed that? You go to one meeting after another, and you're going to see the same, like, ceiling. It's like the difference between that ceiling and that one. And this is where the church is, and that's where he wants us to go. We got to get out from under this one because we keep hitting up against it. Doesn't matter what kind of personality, what it looks like, all of that, it's still there. The areas, the most needy of the earth, we have nothing for them. the paraplegics, the insane, you know, that kind of thing. Pray. You see isolated ones, but nothing like bringing them out. That's what's on us. Well, everybody knows we all say the name of Jesus. We all know how to pray. We know how to fast. We now do all that because that realm lives in another place called the anointing without measure. It's what the Lord walked in. God giveth the Spirit not by measure to him. It's what will fundamentally transform families. Dysfunctional families. Bipolar. All we need to do right now is medicate. Fundamentally transform the moral fiber of the church. It's a level of glory that reaches way beyond. And in the presence of that kind of glory, we get transformed overnight. Freely. And that is what the enemy is afraid of. If he has any fears, that kind of glory birthing, he don't mind us doing church. If he can't stop, he'd rather you not do a church, but you're going to do church. He just didn't want anybody touching that place. It fundamentally transformed the cities all around. When that Jerusalem revival broke out with Peter, it says all those cities around about Jerusalem, they all heard about it. They didn't have CNN. They didn't have Fox News. They didn't have Facebook. But they heard. And they brought them out. You're not going to bring blind people and deaf people out from one city. You know what it takes to move somebody that's paraplegic, can't move? Two or three people to walk them out on a stretcher? They didn't have ambulances. These people are laying down on stretchers. Sometimes three or four people to move them to one city. They would not even bother if something wasn't out on that city. Lay them in beds and couches. Watch this. What did Peter have in Acts chapter 3? He said, what I have is upon me, I give. In Acts chapter 5, it was in full-blown atmospheric. He said, at least the shadow of Peter, when he walked by, it wasn't a shadow produced by the sun. That was the glory of God. He was wearing the glory. He found out where it lived. And he went up into it, and he was clothed in heaven. And when he walked back down here, wherever he went, when the glory touched him, they were made whole. Go to Acts 5. I want to show that to you. We will birth. Everyone say it. We will birth. You know, I used to say that as a confession just to rev me up. I'm saying it more from a position of faith and belief now. I actually just believe it. Faith will keep growing. Hope will keep growing. If it doesn't get snatched away from you, what do you think the enemy brings all that atmosphere at you? Why do you think he fights you like he does? He wants to destroy the operation of hope inside you. Live in discouragement. Live checked out. If you live like that, there's nothing breeding and brooding on the inside of you. There's nothing incubating. He's destroyed the incubation chamber. But boys, you got hope and you learn how to protect it. See, when God wants to change something, we think he's just going to fall out of the sky. The first thing he does is he sends his word. He'll send it in. Finding somebody, he'll send it to 5, 10 different people. When God wants to do something, he doesn't just send it to one person. You got to give time. You got to birth what's inside you. Who carries it to the end gets the prize. Because when heaven wants to do something, the first thing he does is he sends it inside you. He sends the vision. He sends the word. He puts it in you. Sometimes simultaneously. It could be simultaneously. 100, 200 Houston Revival Centers all over. Somebody's carrying the next phase. Somebody's carrying the next movement. Somebody's carrying it. And it's who can get it to the end. Because every one of them are going to go through some hardship. Everybody's going to go through difficulty. What you're carrying, there might be 10 other people carrying the exact same thing. And they're going through the exact same difficulty. And they're running in the exact same dead ends. And they're going through hopelessness. And they're going through despair. And they're thinking, am I the only one that's ever goes through this? It's because of what you're carrying is why you're going through it. It's who they'll bring it to the finish line. Because there is a finish line. Do you want a real mystery? I'll give you a mystery here. When Abraham was impregnated with the promise of God, God put his promises in him. Melchizedek came out to meet him, and he saw those promises. Melchizedek blessed those promises. Hebrews chapter 5 says, we have a priest, a high priest, an apostle and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. He resides in the right hand of God. He's a king. He is an apostolic high priest. And he is the only one qualified to bless your promises. Because they came from him. You want to see the whole circle? God brings, when he wants to do something, he sets it inside you. Sets it right up inside you. Some people say, well, God, when you get ready, here I am. Some wait forever and then some go to him. To let us come unto him. You take those promises. You have to carry them here, but you bring them back to him. Where he resides. We need our Melchizedek in heaven, Christ, to bless what's inside us. Presenting it before him. Carrying something that God's given us. Being clothed from that place. Clothe me. Everyone say, Father, clothe me. Not waiting on him to come here, but going to him there. That's a journey. That those that are thirsty, those that are called to rule and reign, they'll find that door. They will. You'll find it. You'll grab it all, amen? If you would, I'm going to show you something cool. Go to John 14. John 13, the Lord begins to introduce the greatest words ever. Captured in John 14, 15, 16, and 17 to 11 apostles. 11 people in the room heard chapter 14, 15, 16, and 17. Gave them remarkable revelation. The whole part of it was to be with me where I am. But in the middle of the room, they're doing communion up there. He does something remarkable. This is how Peter got it on him. John 14, verse 29. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, you might believe. Hereafter, I will not talk much with you. For the prince of this world cometh, and he hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me a commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. You see that? Arise, let us go hence. They are in an upper room. They did not leave that upper room in chapter 14. He preached chapter 15. I am the vine, you are the branch. He preached chapter 16. He preached chapter 17 in the same upper room. He did not go anywhere. So why did they all stand up? Where did they go? Let us go hence. Pretty remarkable. The whole thing, he goes, look, you're going to be with me where I am, and I'm going to take you there today. So you may know I'm going to bring you into the Father's bosom.
I believe the Lord took them all up into the Father's glory. Because that's what he was teaching them. And I believe that Peter found that place because it was on him. In Acts chapter 3, it was on him. Acts chapter 5, it was on him. The church has to get that back on him. But the way we're going about it is say, Father, put it on us, put it on us, put it on us, bring it here. And God says, you got to come up into my glory. Into it. That's the call. That's what we preach. We have to steward this place and stay, continue to grow up into him. If this was the Lord's message before he left, shouldn't it be ours before he comes? This was his message before he left. It's what he chose to give them in the upper room. I pray, Father, they be with me where I am. Came from your bosom, I'm coming back. I'm going to bring them to you. They're going to sit with me at thy right hand in heavenly places. They sit with me. I'm going to bring them. Paul said, I want to be found in him. That's what my life, I want to be found in him. I found in him. Find me in you, Lord. Close your eyes a minute. Just put your hand. I live in you. I move in you. I have my being. And Moses, Solomon, David, they all knew this. Don't let it depart. Don't let go. Okay, you can look up now. Don't let it depart. Now go to Proverbs real quick. 29. Proverbs 29 verse 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. You know what perish means in the Hebrew? It means to let go, to loose, to neglect. Where no vision is, you'll let go. It's not letting go of the things God wants you to let go of. You're letting go of the things that are dear. Where there's no vision, no vision, the enemy takes what's going on inside you, you'll let go. It'll be loosed from you. He said that he that hath my words in him, to him will be given. But he that hath not from him shall be taken away even what he has. You allow what's inside you to be dislodged. You allow the destiny of God inside you to be dislodged. You think it's going to stop there? The enemy will come and want to steal everything else then. That's why people just get hammered and they don't know why. Let me tell you something. You got to know this. Listen to me very carefully. When you reach a certain level in God, you can't just stop because you want to. When you reach up above child stage and you reach into something and you touch his glory and you walk with him in a season and you decide, well, I'm just not going to do that no more. You don't get that luxury anymore. You know why? You're marked forever. Once you get marked, you might let go, but the enemy will never stop. Have you ever noticed that? When you let go, he doesn't stop. He'll never stop. You can never stop. I'm here to challenge you. You got to walk with him. You got to abide in him. When you don't want to is the best time to do it. The flesh is never willing. But the spirit is always willing. Always willing. Where there is no vision, you'll perish. It'll let go. It'll get loosed. You got to protect. What's it say? Guard your heart with all diligence. Why? Because that's where God sent your future. Your future is inside you. He sent it to your heart. This is the place it must be incubated. I would encourage you to get something, maybe not as elaborate as this, but there are three different things, actually. Each one of them represents something God has said. I would encourage you to have something like this. I call it a spiritual constitution. All this is what God said to me. Added with all the scripture that supports what he said. What I have to do over the years, and I'm closing with this, is learn to treasure not what I want, but what has been given. I always want. Not this thing, I'm talking about God. And I had to learn to treasure what has already been given, which was his words. I was trying to bypass the process of his word and just want him to do it. Just do it, just do it, just do it. And I had to come to the realization when you're called to birth something, I had to get in touch with what he already said, and I had to treasure with everything what he already gave me. Because what I want's coming out of what he gave me. And I cannot bypass his process. So I had to learn to get in touch with this and learn to keep this and learn to hold what's in my heart. And why I write it is because I don't always see it the way I see it when I'm on the mountain. When you're on high with God, you can see everything very clearly. You ever notice that? You ever, when you get on high and you get major breakthrough, what's the first thing that happens? Your vision returns. Your life returns. The glory returns. The hunger and thirst returns. And everything's alive! You know who you are. You know where you're going. You know what God's going to do. And you're back in the saddle with him. But you don't always stay there. And so, when you write it, I write this for the hard times. In the easy times, I can just go like this with my heart and say, glory. Because I can see it very clearly. But when I write it, it's the difficult times. It's in the valley. When I have to be reminded. When I'm wanting again. And I want you to do this. And I want you to do this. I have to remind, you're already given me. I have to come in touch with what have you already given me this. It's what I have. I've got to keep this. And when I don't want to, I hold it. I hold it very dear. I hold it very dear to my heart. And you hold it. And you interact with it. And you see it. And you say it. And you declare it. What did he say? Write the vision. Make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. Though it tarry, wait for it shall speak. There is a day your vision will speak. There is a day you won't have to do it no more. There's a day you won't have to do it. It will start speaking on its own. There's a day, if you don't let it go, and you hold it and you bind it continually upon your heart, that it will speak. It will manifest. It will release.
Hallelujah. Let's give him glory. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand. Glory to God forever. Father, thank you. Today, thank you. Thank you for your words. Thank you for what you've already given us. I know what we want, but you've already teach us to treasure what you've already given. For our future lieth within the heart. It lieth within your words that we already have. Today we choose to keep them. Today we choose to hold them. Today we choose to bind them continually in frontlets of our eyes, bind them about our neck, bind them to our hands, bind them to our heart, bind them, and we won't let them go. Where there is no vision, it'll all be loosed. We keep it. We hold what you've given to the day manifestation. Let our hope arise again. Let hope arise in our heart. Let it rise. Let it rise. Let it rise. If faith may add substance to it.